Very warm word of welcome to you in the Saviour's name as you come to worship here at Hebron, the congregation, visitors, and especially those that are coming from our Missionary Council weekend. We welcome you in the Lord's great name. We're going to praise the Lord by singing together the words of the Psalm 100. All people that on earth do dwell, sing to the Lord with cheerful voice. Him serve with mirth, his praise forth tell. Come ye before him and rejoice. For a special prayer for the Goods family. Some of you may have heard that the father of the Reverend Goods has passed away, and distance, of course, over in Australia makes it very difficult for the family that's here at this present time. And then we've been remembering a little boy called Reese. He's 13 years of age, and David Brown and his wife, who were with us during the weekend, had to go home last night, for Reese was taken to hospital due to COVID-19. The good news is that he was released last evening and is recovering at home. So that's good news. We are delighted to have, during this weekend, Dr. John Douglas. And he's going to come now and read the psalm for today and lead us to the throne of grace in prayer.
Let us all turn to the Word of God together. As you will understand, it's the book of Psalms, and we're reading today from the Psalm 93. Oh, quite a number of the Psalms have a prophetic witness, a very distinct prophetic witness. And among this group of Psalms here in the 90s, just to generalize, we have that strong message concerning things to come. We're looking here to the end of the age. For example, the opening words of the psalm, "The Lord reigneth." Perhaps at no time in history, in the past, as it will be in the future, will this be more emphatically declared and made known than in the day of his appearing, when the Lord holds the scepter, takes the throne, magnifies his name, displays his glory. This is a lovely psalm then, with its five verses, beginning with emphasis on the Lord. The Lord is still on the throne, we can say, and ending with a reference to Scripture itself, thy testimonies. That's a good description of the Bible, thy testimonies. Now it is said of them, they're very sure. That's helpful. That's helpful to the Christian in the midst of a conflict, or even a child of God coming through times of doubt and uncertainty. Thy testimonies, glory to God, are very sure. There's strength, there's encouragement for you in that. So we're going to read these five verses. Psalm 93. The Lord reigneth. He is clothed with majesty. The Lord is clothed with strength, wherewith he hath girded himself. The world also is established, that it cannot be moved. Thy throne, we thought about the Lord reigning. That brings to mind the throne. Thy throne is established of old. Thou art from everlasting. The floods have lifted up, O Lord. The floods have lifted up their voice. The floods lift up their waves. You can understand these words figuratively and think of the revolt of the nations. They have lifted up their voice against the Lord, against the Scriptures, against God's ancient people, Israel. That's the spirit of antagonism there. The floods have lifted up their voice, but you can also pay attention to this in a literal way, because our Lord speaks of the very end of the age as a time when the seas and the waves are roaring. And you can well understand those who talk about climate concern. The floods have lifted up, O Lord. The floods have lifted up their voice. The floods lift up their waves. We have yet to see how this age is going to terminate. Just leading up to the time of our Lord's return. And that's where verse 4 comes into the picture. The Lord on high is mightier than the noise of many waters, even the floods that lift up their voice. Yea, the mighty waves of the sea. And now is this grand conclusion. Thy testimonies are very sure. Holiness becometh thine house, O Lord, forever. Praise the Lord for the reading of Holy Scripture this day. Let us all unite together in prayer. Lord, we do thank thee for this day. It's the day that reminds us our Saviour, having been crucified, having been put to shame on the cross, having taken the load of our sins upon him there on Calvary's tree, rose again triumphantly. We thank thee then that on the first day of the week, as the early church worshipped thee, they came to recognize the value and the blessing in the resurrection of the Savior. We thank thee for victory over death and the devil and powers of hell. And O God, grant that in worship today we may be guided even by thy Holy Spirit, prompted of God. Help thy servant as he ministers, may he know the touch of God again, and the infilling of the Holy Spirit with wisdom and grace and power. Prepare our hearts, Lord, today. We thank thee for congregation of thy people who generally meet in this house, a house of prayer, house of biblical preaching, a house where thy name is magnified. We thank thee that in this celebratory year, this anniversary year, we have occasion to look back in thanksgiving, to see thy hand, oh, from the earliest times, right out there in the Cabra, aye, and even before that in the tent, in the mission that started. Way back in those times, we praise thee for those who sought and found the Lord just then, and for many in the time following who have turned to Christ and to the Scriptures, who have found out themselves that thy testimonies are very sure. And we thank thee for the witness of the Spirit in this regard. May thy Holy Spirit come today. Ah, he's the third person of the Blessed Trinity. We thank thee for the witness of the Spirit. We have a concern about that, Lord, that more and more in our gatherings we might be favored of God in this fashion, that we have the witness of the Spirit even in the midst, the Holy Ghost himself bearing witness to the Word and to Christ our Savior made manifest in that Word. Oh, guide us, Lord. Guide us in our worship, in our prayers. We think of family requirements, families represented now in this congregation. We have known, Lord, many of thy dear people who are not at all well this time. Our condition gives concern. We ask thee that thou wilt help them in this their time of sickness and affliction. May they know the comfort of thy presence in a very real way. Oh, grant that the Holy Spirit himself, the Comforter, may bring the word of God to them. Perhaps some who suffer at this time, whether in hospital or at home, are cast down and perplexed, maybe even discouraged with illness. Give them special help. Guide the medical teams who have charge of their case. We pray for wisdom to be given to them. Thou hast told us not to lean upon our own understanding, and that would cover medical skills as well, but in all our ways to acknowledge thee, Lord. We pray for thy dear saints who are unwell, those who are walking the valley of the shadow. We pray for them the comfort of God too. Remember thy dear servant, our dear brother in the Lord, Reverend Goods. We pray for him and his dear wife and for the other members of the family, some here in this wee country, some so far away in Australia. We ask for them the comfort of God. You know especially, Lord, the difficult circumstances that thy servant has found himself in, he himself being very unwell, and then the prohibition put upon traveling and the difficulty of receiving the news of his father's illness and approaching death as well. And Lord, we do pray for him, comforting touch of thy hand, the testimony of the Lord to his own heart. Lord, how often in that lonely vale of tears, presence of the Lord means everything, turns darkness into light, and also sorrow into joy, the shadow into sunshine. We owe so much to thee, Lord. We have been there. We owe so much to thee to know God has promised very specially a comfort for his own saints in such a time. Be very near. And there are others, Lord. And the sorrow of heart is present with them because of the loss of those who are very near. We yet think, on the other hand, for those who believe, they're not lost to us. They're not really lost, where we know where they are. They're in the presence of their Saviour. And we are hastening on toward that time when there'll be a glad reunion in the presence of Christ, the Redeemer. Comfort hearts then. Bless today in the meeting. And grant that some who are afflicted, having a struggle, really, and maybe a struggle to come, and others not able to come, but tuning in, oh, may there be a word from heaven, a word that has a stamp of God on it, whereby they themselves will be able to say a hearty amen, and glory to God for that. O Lord, revive thy work. Revive our hearts. Refresh our souls today. We earnestly pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Dr. Douglas. This has been the Missionary Council weekend, and many of the members, including our secretary, John, here at the front, have joined us this morning for worship. And we want to continue with the missionary theme, and we have greetings and reports from the recent contacts in Pakistan. So they will speak for themselves, and subtitles will be thrown up just to help us that little bit.
My name is Deep, and I am servant of God. I am very thankful to the Lord for His mercy, for His blessing, and unconditional love. I thank God for the help given by Brother David Park, his church, and the mission board members as we serve God in Pakistan. We read in Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 to 20, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Together we are able to reach the Hindu tribal people of desert areas. These people are unaware of the Lord, His promises, His love, His salvation, and that He is alive. They are worshippers of idols, about 33 gods and goddesses. We start to share with them the true words of the Bible. We told them that Jesus is alive. He died for our sins to provide eternal life and salvation. Father David always gives his precious time to preach the gospel to them. He prays for them, helps them with their needs, and understand them. These Hindu people have started to believe in Jesus Christ. They attend the Sunday services and want to know more about the true God. We have been able to distribute Bibles in different areas. We have helped these people practically with food, clothes, water, hand pumps, and toilet facilities. Jesus, over a year ago, we founded the Academical School in one of these tribal areas. Now the children are studying, and best of all, they are learning the Bible. We have two teachers and around 19 children receiving the education. A suitable building for the Academical School is being eternal and will soon be finished. I am thankful to God first, then Brother David, the church, and board members for all these help. Please continue to pray for us and the Carmichael School. I thank the Lord for making all these possible and for touching your heart with love and compassion.
Hello everyone. How are you doing? Hope you all are blessed with grace of God. I am Friha from Pakistan, and many thanks to Pastor David who gave me an opportunity to thanks to all those people who help us in Pakistan. So I want to let you know which kind of work I am doing here. I want to let you know that we have a swimming center here for poor girls, in which we teach them about how to see a new clothes, and especially we share the word of God. We have a Sunday school for youngest children, in which we teach them about God in the Bible. And I want to let you know that I am doing here Bible distribution. You all guys help us a lot. We have also provide the food for poor and needy peoples who have no food for eat two time in a day. And I want to thanks to all people who lived in UK for help us. And once again, thank you so much. May God bless you with many blessings. Thank you for listening me.
Greetings to you in the holy and blessed name of Lord Jesus Christ. I am John Nazir from Pakistan. I am very thankful to our Heavenly Father for His grace and love. I want to tell you about the work of the gospel in Pakistan. I was in contact with Reverend Ian Harris around the middle of the last year. Reverend Harris spoke the word of God to our youth, and he was a great encouragement. He then provided copies of the Bible in English for our young people.
I am David Nazir from Pakistan. I am the head teacher of Grace Academy. I am very thankful to our Heavenly Father for this great and important service. It is a joy for me to service God with many orphan children in Grace Academy from a small poor village. We opened Grace Academy with our loving Reverend Ian Harris. He's a very spiritual and kind man of God. I want to thank you, dear brother, and thank the Free Presbyterian Church, Northern Ireland, and to the people of UK for all their love and generosity.
And we were started evangelism work in poor town brick workers since April 2021. That was a very wonderful experience, first time for us. I was shared the word of God and taught them about holy life of our Lord Jesus Christ. And after the few weeks, we had distributed food, clothes, and shoes to orphan children and poor families. Then we were distributed them clean drinking water through water hand pump. We are very thankful to our Heavenly Father for the blessings.
We distributed Bibles door to door to poor and illiterate men and women, boys and girls. Every day I am teaching them God's word. I have to walk there, so travel is very difficult. However, I am happy to serve our Lord Jesus Christ because I love Him. Many are hearing the daily Bible readings door to door and leave are being saved.
For
whosoever
shall call
upon
the name
of the Lord,
shall be saved.
Rather than speak about them, it's good to hear from them. And that's their testimony and the work that we have been able to do under the mission board. We bid you welcome again in the Savior's name. Missionary Council representatives and friends that are here, ministers that are here, and missionaries, of course. It's good to see Joanne Greer, Margaret Russell, and our brother Noel Shields. And we have also Alejandro Bernabeu and his wife and family, who are visiting for a few days from the land of Spain, and he will be speaking on Thursday night. We welcome Jonathan Holland and his wife and his family also, and any other visitors that are present. The gospel service is tonight at 7. The prayer meeting is 6:15. And I want to speak this evening on the woman with the lean-to religion. That's all she had, just a lean-to. She leaned towards the things of God, but she didn't really know the Lord. Tuesday night is Youth Challenge at 7. Thursday night is the special deputation service when our brother Alex from Cortecas Nuevas will be speaking. Friday night, the Youth Fellowship at 8 o'clock, and Ryan Moore, one of our youth leaders, will be speaking on the parable of the Pharisee and the publican. Next Lord's Day begins with the prayer meeting at 8 a.m., Sabbath school 10:30, the Bible class at 10:30, and Phil is dealing with doctrines in these morning sessions, the doctrine of personal holiness for next Lord's Day. The worship service, 12 noon, the gospel service at 7. There's going to be an announcement about that at the end, prayer meeting beforehand, and we thank you for your tithes and offerings. And today is Missionary Council envelopes. Maybe just to let our folks know that were down with us on the weekend, there was a special offering last night to help with education, and that offering, John, came to £1,300 or thereabouts. So that was a tremendous offering for the group that was there, and thank you in the Saviour's name. Our church is hoping to have their Christmas dinner on the 3rd of December down in the Macaraboy. They can take a maximum of 140, and that's just about full. So if you didn't get your name on it on the list, you can put your name on the standby list if you see Samuel Johnson about that. We also have anniversary pens. They arrived this week, and most of you got them on your way in. If you didn't get one, there's one for everyone, whether you're young or old. So even for the children, we want you to get one of these anniversary pens. The current magazine is available to those who've subscribed to it. The Missionary Council prayer calendars are also available today. And the paper pulpit, we've been announcing this, Reverend McMillan, who's with us today, and his wife, has produced this as volume 3. And you put your name on the list and how many copies that you would like, and we'll get them to you in the very near future. Remember the sick and the needy of the congregation. And that's just about it as far as the normal announcements are concerned. But this is some of the folks over the weekend. That was Friday night, and that was last evening. And Dr. Douglas then preaching the word brought a very timely message. And then the man that you saw in the video, John, he got married on Friday. Reverend Harris was part of that, and I got this from John this morning earlier. So there's John and his new bride. And then we think of De Panker's wife, Anita. She had the opportunity to speak at a ladies' conference over there in India. So it's all happening. Now we have greetings from Miss Noreen McAfee from Uganda.
We'll just go back. Make sure we get the sound. Can anybody lip read?
And many restrictions have been eased.
So we've got sign now. We'll go back so you can hear her from the beginning. Thank you.
Greetings to all from Uganda, and thank you for your continued prayers and practical support. The number of COVID-19 cases has significantly reduced here, and many restrictions have been eased. Churches were reopened at the end of September, and we are delighted that the Lord's Day worship service, the Sunday school, the Sunday evening fellowship, and the Tuesday prayer meetings have all resumed. The turnout has been quite encouraging, with over 60 in some Lord's Day mornings and 55 children at Sunday school. The Reverend Carscadden from Corrigarie preached for us in October, Reverend Crean from Convoy is looking after us this month, and then we look forward to hearing from Reverend Brown in Larne in December. We are thankful to all these men for preaching to us by Zoom as we wait for others to visit us on the field in the new year, God willing. We have also managed to organise some outreach activities for the latter part of the year. We're conducting open-air meetings in the neighbouring villages and are encouraged by the response. We're also planning some children's meetings and a ladies' meeting in December. We're thankful to have received a further grant from the Mission Board's Emergency Aid Fund, and we hope to distribute the aid packages and gospel literature before Christmas. Unfortunately, school is still closed, but we are hopeful that classes will recommence in January. The government is trying to vaccinate all teaching and non-teaching staff and all students over 18 years before schools reopen to avoid a third wave of COVID-19. We've continued to prepare home learning packs for the students. That's a lot of printing, stapling, packing, distributing, collecting and marking, but there's no other option at present. The packs also contain some gospel literature for the parents and students too, so it's a great way to get the gospel into the homes. Every school family has received a copy of John's Gospel, a copy of Dr. Cairns' booklet, A New Beginning, and some other literature, all in Luganda. We are praying that the Lord would bless the printed page and that many would be saved. The Fosters are back in Northern Ireland to meet the residency requirements for Hannah's settlement as an EU citizen in the UK. They were able to pack a lot into their last term, with Andy renovating the Miller's old house and Hannah helping the social work department with household assessments and the agricultural projects. Baby Rachel is everybody's favourite and is coming on well. We're trusting God that the electrical team will be able to come back in January and finalise the installation of the mains electricity on site as they connect the control panel which was shipped from Northern Ireland. We would covet your prayers for them and for all the other matters that have been mentioned. We would especially ask you to pray that the church would be stirred up and new people brought in, that the Lord would save souls. It's good to see people coming, but we want to see them won to Christ. That God would give us rain. The farmers are crying that their crops are drying up in the fields, and that the Lord would encourage our young people, many of whom are frustrated, having spent many months at home. Thank you again for all your support and prayers, and may God bless you in all that you do to serve him.
It's good to hear from our sister Noreen. We want to sing the hymn 675 before we come to the preaching of the word. Far, far away in heathen darkness dwelling, millions of souls forever may be lost.
Thank you.
delight to welcome the chairman of the mission board, Reverend Harris, who has been part of our weekend of the missionary council, and he's here to preach the word. We're looking forward to his message. We've been praying for him, and so Reverend Harris, feel at home as you come to the pulpit here in Ballymoney, and may the Lord fill you with all the needed grace, wisdom and power to bring the message that he's laid upon your heart to the congregation today. Welcome.
Would you turn with me, please, in the Word of God to Luke's Gospel, chapter 24. Gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 24. And we'll take up our reading at verse 45. As you're finding your place, can I thank the Reverend Park for his welcome to the meeting here in Ballymoney today. It's always a great privilege to come back amongst the Lord's people here. And I thank him for his welcome, and I thank him for his invitation. And on behalf of our mission board, I want to thank the Missionary Council, of course, for the weekend. I was reading this morning, and I thought it summarized it very neatly. That wonderful description of the Lord using Peter's little boat in Luke's Gospel, chapter 5. And he couldn't contain all of the catch that the Lord gave him in the boat, so he had to call his partners. And it was the partners that enabled him to bring all of the catch in. And we couldn't ask for better partners than we find amongst the people of God in our missionary council. And we thank you indeed for all of your partnership in the gospel over many, many years, and how the Lord has blessed you. And as we heard last night, those who are on the field at home and abroad would not be on the home front if you were not supporting them from behind. So we thank you in the Lord's name and all of our congregations. We often talk about missionary-minded churches. And we thank God in our free church as a whole, we have a missionary-minded body of people. And we pray that the Lord might deepen that missionary concern and that love for the things of God. And that the Lord would raise up a whole new generation of workers and partners for the days in the Lord's will that lie ahead. I was asked to speak on a subject just a few weeks ago on the priority of prayer in the Great Commission. Sometimes subjects grip your heart. Sometimes subjects take a hold of your mind. And I think this is one of them. It is the priority of prayer in the Great Commission. And I think it starts off here in Luke's Gospel, chapter 24. Luke chapter 24 and verse 45. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the Scriptures. And said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behoved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. And he led them out as far as to Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and were continually in the temple, praising and blessing God. Amen. And amen. We know that the Lord will bless once again. This is the public reading of his own holy word. Let's unite our hearts in prayer, please, before we come to God's word today. Let's all pray. Heavenly Father and eternal Lord, We thank thee today for all that has gone before. We thank thee for these stirring reports, even from the land of Pakistan. We thank thee for the report from our sister Miss McAfee in Emmanuel, in the Salo in Uganda. And we pray for all of these areas that even today, that they, in their own service for God, might know the Lord's visitation amongst them, and that God's blessing will be poured out upon them. We thank thee for this missionary council weekend, and we pray that thou will bless us even in the closing hours of it. We thank thee for partners in the gospel and partners in the great missionary endeavor of spreading the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ, as we have been singing and reading in the nations of the world. And we pray you'll bless every member. May the hand of God abide upon them. Strengthen us, Lord, as we would seek to bring that catch in for the Lord Jesus Christ. As we gather around thy word, have a word in season for us. Speak through thy precious truth today. And may the word come with power and with blessing. We pray that thou wilt make a way. Make a way and a highway for the preaching of God's word today. And may the word of God have free course and be glorified. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. As we look at those great commissioning texts that the Lord Jesus gave to his church at the end of the Gospels and at the start of the book of Acts, we discover something very important, that not only are we to go and preach the gospel, but without prayer, there will be no going forth. Prayer is a priority. I think that we need to regain amongst all of our members, amongst our ministers, amongst our missionaries, if we want to rediscover what our place should be in the Great Commission. There are many factors to the Great Commission, but my priority is just to re-emphasize for you again today how prayer brings it all together. And without prayer, brethren and sisters, it all falls. It's prayer that stands the Great Commission, and it's prayer that advances the Great Commission. And without prayer, the prayers of God's people at home and abroad, it'll all come to naught. From his ascension to his second advent, the priority of prayer is emphasized in gathering out a people from the nations of the world for the Lord Jesus Christ. The final prayer of the Bible is for a heartfelt cry for the Lord Jesus Christ to return. His great ministry in heaven is focusing on prayer. And even as we meet today, he intercedes for us in glory. And all of our labors and all of these nations that in our own small way we're represented in, he's praying for us. Prayer. Prayer brings together the whole of the great commissioning work of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe our forefathers, they understood the priority of prayer in a way that we don't understand it. It's evident from the reading of church history that our Reformed and our Puritan forefathers, they fervently prayed for worldwide evangelization and revival. That's not something we oftentimes associate with the Reformation and with the Puritan forefathers, but it is something that was close to their heart. And in some respects, as we read the history of Christian missions, we can say that the great missionary awakening that we trace back to the work of William Carey on his expedition out to India, even up to today's missionary movement, it was all bedded and founded upon centuries of persevering missionary prayer beforehand. It's lovely to know that God treasures up all of our prayers in the vials of heaven. None of them ever fall to the ground. And so today I would like to consider with you, as we close out the service, why prayer is such a priority in the fulfillment of the Great Commission. Not everybody here can go. We recognize that. But there's not a Christian that's present here today who can't pray. And I want you to put it as a priority once again as we seek to do the work of God at home and abroad. So first of all, consider with me that prayer is a priority because of the prominence that it was given in the New Testament ministry. Would you turn with me just for a little time? We'll be looking at some passages of Scripture, but turn with me to the book of Acts, Acts chapter 6. Acts chapter 6. The context here is very striking when it comes to missionary work. There was a huge social need within the church at Jerusalem. There arose a division amongst the widows in the church because the Greek-speaking widows, they felt that they were at an unfair advantage because the Hebrew-speaking widows, they felt, were getting more than they were in the daily administration or allotment of the food and provision that was given out. We might look back and frown upon such things, but brethren and sisters, when times are tough and when people's basic needs are not being met, then all types of things come to the surface and all types of problems can arise. And you can read Acts chapter 6 and you'll find that there's murmuring. You can read the broader context and you can say, was there neglect? Was there really neglect within the church? Yes, there was, because the problem had to be addressed. There was murmuring. There was neglect. The testimony of the church was being called into reproach, and the very witness of the gospel as a result was being affected. So what happened? The situation had to be addressed. The apostles, guided by the Holy Spirit, they decided that seven men of good and honest report were to be set aside to look after this work. And so the widows were no longer to be neglected. Everyone was to be treated fairly and proportionately. And the widows and their dependents and their needs had to be ministered to. But what is very prominent here as we look at Acts 6 and verse 4 is that the apostles said they would not leave off ministering in order to do this work. And that's why the other men were appointed to do it. They were partners. And these partners in the work enabled them to get on with what is, I believe, a wonderful, simplistic, and yet spiritual description of New Testament Christian ministry. We read in Acts chapter 6 and verse 4 that this was their testimony. They said, we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. Now, in this simple description of New Testament Christian ministry, we cannot fail to notice the priority that is given to the place of prayer. That's not to minimize the importance of all the other things that was going on in the church at Jerusalem at that present time. It's not to minimize the mercy ministry. There is a vital and important place for that in the role of the Christian church. And Acts chapter 6 proves that. And yet when it came to the ministry of these apostles, and they've handed something on to those that follow them, the ministers of the gospel, the missionaries of the gospel, they gave themselves, they devoted themselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. What came first? Prayer. Prayer came first. Our ministries, our missionaries, just like those apostles of years ago, first and foremost, they're engaged in a spiritual warfare. They're engaged in a spiritual battle against the powers of darkness that controls the hearts and minds of multitudes across the nations in which we minister and witness the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is not Pharisee-like that we walk aside and we ignore the social needs and the physical needs of those that we minister to. We don't do that. And what little help we have, we gladly give in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. But primarily, we're there in a battle, men and women, and we're there in a battle to win souls for the Lord Jesus Christ. And it was as the apostles gave themselves to this battle, to the ministry of prayer and to the ministry of the word that the victory was won. The victory was not won merely through making sure that all of the widows and their dependents were administered to and everything was proportionately and fairly given out. The battle was won in the place of prayer, and the battle was won through the preaching of the word of God. And it hasn't changed. John Calvin, that sturdy reformer of years gone by, he saw prayer as a missionary weapon. And he saw prayer as a missionary weapon in order to be employed, that souls would be liberated from the dominion of Satan and sin, brought into the kingdom of God and built up in their most holy faith. They give themselves to prayer in the pulpits and pews of our churches. I think we need to redefine ourselves. We need to. There's a lot of talk today about the reset. I'm not too sure about all of that, but I am sure of this. We do need to reset our priorities. Let us keep our gospel focus. There are many today, and they have been sidetracked. And there are many within the Christian church today, and they have been sidetracked. And it's sad to say how easily some will themselves to be sidetracked. And so we have to battle to keep on track. And to keep on track, we have to keep gospel focused. And in order to keep gospel focused, we have to follow apostolic practice. What is apostolic practice? Ministers, missionaries, those in the Lord's work that have to give themselves to this priority of prayer and the ministry of the Word of God. That's how the battle is won throughout the New Testament. I'll just turn you to one reference. There are many times Paul asked for prayer. He asked people to pray for them and for his missionary teams that he went out with. And sometimes when we hear the like of our sister Miss McAfee coming online and others, and they're asking, will you pray for us? It's not some sort of just routine. It's not a ritual. This is something that's life or death. This is success or failure in the Christian ministry, that people actually pray when they're asked to pray and remember to pray. We read in Ephesians 6, that great chapter of the Christian armor. It's all put on by prayer, the Christian armor. Every part of it's put on by prayer. But we read in verse 18, 19, Paul said, pray for me. Pray for me that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. You know, it takes boldness today to go out into the public square and preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. When I was a boy growing up, if you went out to an open air meeting, nobody ever would have challenged you. I never remember anything like that. I never remember as a young Christian going to open air meetings, people challenging you. They might have ignored you, but they didn't challenge you. But today you'll be challenged. And you will need holy boldness to open your mouth and to make known the mystery of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Where's this battle won? Not out in the street. It's won before you go out to the street in the place of prayer. We need to prioritize our priorities once again in the Christian church. And I think this is counsel from the Lord for all of our hearts today, for all of the Lord's people. If you're going to pray, make sure you have some sort of system to pray. There are more helps today in 2021 to enable you to remember what to pray for than ever before. Those who have succeeded in the place of prayer have been list keepers. When people ask me to pray, the only way I can do that is to write it down on a list. Years ago, somebody could ask me something. I could have remembered it for weeks. No, if they ask me today, I have to write it down on a list. And I think there's many in this meeting just like that. Have your prayer list and write it down. Have your prayer list for the Lord's Day, for Monday, right throughout every day of the week. Have your prayer list. Follow through the Missionary Council prayer calendar. But add to it. Have your prayer list. Pray for me. Hear what Paul said again today. A priority in prayer. Secondly, we need to consider the importance of collective public prayer. Now, Dr. Douglas referenced this last evening. And we don't have time really to elaborate upon it, but could I reset again the public place of prayer, the collective gathering of the people of God for prayer? The Metropolitan Tabernacle in London, I always love to read of its history because in Spurgeon's day it was set in working class areas. You imagine in those days they didn't have the public transport that we have today. They didn't have cars. Maybe if you had carriages, that was the very best. But they came to the house of prayer. On the Lord's Day, Spurgeon morning and evening, it is estimated, preached to between 5,000 to 6,000 people every Lord's Day. On their Monday evening, they had their prayer meeting. It was a led prayer meeting. It wasn't the open format of prayer meeting that you and I would be familiar with. Reports would have been given. Somebody would have been asked to pray for that Sunday school, for this outreach, for that soul that was near the kingdom, for those seekers that they sought after within the tabernacle. And they would have been asked, you stand up, you pray, you pray. And how many came to that prayer meeting? Some 3,000 people came to that prayer meeting. Over 50% of the congregation came back without all of the modern means of transportation that you and I have, and they came to pray. Spurgeon laid great emphasis on that prayer meeting. He called it the thermometer, the spiritual thermometer of the church. And whatever else you and I do, let us say it's our primary task to make sure that the spiritual thermometer of the church doesn't go cold. Let's gather for prayer. And we'll never see greater blessing until we see greater emphasis and greater interest and greater momentum in the house of God, in the place of prayer. You know, because of my own work in the mission board, I get to see prayer meetings all over our churches that other people don't get to see. And our missionaries get to see prayer meetings that other people don't get to see. There's very few of our churches, men and women, where 50% of the congregation on Sunday come back to the midweek prayer meeting. And yet we gather where the Lord has promised to gather with us. Where the twos and threes are met together in my name, there am I in the midst. Is it not enough just to be where He is? Where He is. There Jesus said, I'll be in the midst. Where you gather for prayer, I'll be in the midst. Those early disciples, they gathered behind closed doors. They were afraid. I've never been in a prayer meeting in the Free Church where the door had to be locked. I've been in some prayer meetings where there was no lock on the door. But the early Christians met behind locked doors. There are places all over the world where they meet behind locked doors. We've heard reports from countries today where Christians meet not in the open format that you and I are used to, but in that locked format, in secret. There are five great examples of prayer in the New Testament in the book of Acts. And of course, time would not permit us to go through them, but I would just want to reference them to you. I think it is a follow-on from where we were reading in Luke's Gospel, chapter 24. Jesus told them, you tarry in Jerusalem until you be endued with the power that is from on high. The waiting is synonymous with praying. Waiting time, praying time is never wasted time. And we find that as they gathered there in Acts chapter 1, that first great prayer meeting, Acts 1, 13, 14, and there they were all united in the place of prayer. and we're waiting on the Lord. The close of Luke, and remember, Luke, who wrote the Gospel, is the same Luke who wrote the Acts of the Apostles, and he's connecting it all together. And he said to them, don't be leaving Jerusalem to go to Judea or Samaria or the uttermost parts before you get the power that is from on high. That's the key. That's the secret to it all. This was the promise of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that promise was fulfilled in Acts chapter 1 and in Acts chapter 2 when the power of God fell upon the church. And that same power is still available to us today. And we put ourselves before the Lord today and we say, Lord, we need that power to do your work, to do your bidding. We need that power to reach the nations. We need that power to reach our own Jerusalems. We need that power of God, the Holy Spirit. And where is it found? In the place of prayer. They were united. We're living in days of division. There's great division amongst the Lord's people, amongst side issues. When we get to heaven, brethren and sisters, you'll see it. There were side issues. But we need to be united in the place of prayer if we're going to see the kingdom of God come with power and great blessing. Acts chapter 2, 42 is another example, the second example of this united prayer meeting. They continued praying. They didn't stop and start. There are so many people stop and start. And you might see them maybe in January. They make a New Year's resolution. I'm not saying it's wrong to make New Year's resolutions. But don't stop and start. Persevere in the place of prayer. They continued. They continued. The third one is in Acts 4, 23, 24. There they met after they had an imposition put upon them. You're no longer able to preach in Jerusalem. But that didn't stop them. They met together and they considered the issue and they strengthened themselves and their resolve in the place of prayer and they looked to God. Acts, the fourth reference is Acts 12, verse 5. Here they were meeting together to pray for Peter. Is that not the persecuted church? Peter was going to be put to death the next day. James had already been put to death. They were praying for Peter. When you meet for prayer, remember the persecuted believers. Remember the persecuted church. If you and I enjoy our freedoms today, there's no guarantee we'll always have those freedoms. But let's pray for those that suffer persecution for righteousness' sake. Acts 16, 13 is the fifth great prayer meeting. Here they gather to seek guidance and direction from the Lord in prayer. It's no wonder the book of Acts is just one chapter after another chapter of victories wrought for God because they prioritize the place of prayer. There's much to do in missionary work. We know that. There's the training. There's the raising of support. There's the generating interest. There's the administration. There's all of those many overlaps that we have in missionary work. And every one of them is important, but without prayer, none of them mean anything in and of themselves. Pray for us. As you meet to pray for the work locally in your local congregations, as you meet to pray for the work locally, well then think of the work nationally. But just don't think of the work nationally. Think of the world globally. The gospel going from local to global. And you can do it in the prayer meeting. Every week you can do it in the prayer meeting. Jonathan Edwards, who's stated to be the last of the New England Puritans, I read some of his paper on the extraordinary prayer for the revival of religion and the advancement of Christ's kingdom on earth pursuant to scripture promises and prophecies concerning the last time. Now that was actually the title of the paper that he wrote. So before you get into it, you've had a lot to consider before you even got into it. I'm glad here in Hebron you've had what he said in his title, Extraordinary Times of Prayer for Revival and the Advancement of Christ's Kingdom in Recent Days. Here were these sturdy Puritans. You read one of Edwards' paragraphs. It's nearly just one sentence, and you have to go back to the start of it again just to get the gist of it before you come to the end of it. But they met to pray for revival. And they met together to pray for the advancement of Christ's kingdom. And they pleaded all the great promises of God. And they set aside special seasons of prayer. And it's recorded in that work how they set aside special seasons of prayer. Those Puritan ministers, and God answered their prayers. And many souls were won to the Lord Jesus Christ. What's the spiritual thermometer in your church like? It's a challenge. It's a challenge to me. Challenge to my own heart. Resetting our priorities. If prayer is our priority, we need to reset it. Not just privately, yes, but collectively. We'll close out, thirdly, by considering with you, as we reprioritize prayer in the fulfillment of this great commission, let's learn from the scriptural method of how to pray. I think we all were taught as children what is termed the Lord's Prayer. Could we go to that just for a little moment? Go to Matthew chapter 6. It is a model prayer. Above everything else, it is a model prayer. It's a very simple one. Consists of three parts: the preface, the petitions, and the conclusion. There are six major petitions which cover every part of the pilgrim life. The opening three all have to do with God. Closing three all have to do with our needs. In the first petition, we're praying for God's name to be hallowed. The second petition teaches us something very important. Verse 10, Matthew 6 and verse 10. We're taught here to pray, "Thy kingdom come. Thy kingdom come." Our first business as a church is to pray about the coming of Christ's kingdom to hearts and lives. It's His kingdom we're concerned about. We're not concerned about advancing our name. We're not concerned about lifting up our self-esteem. Our primary concern is His kingdom. Thy kingdom come. I love the larger catechism for all the amplification it gives to us on all of these wonderful subjects. And I was looking this up, and I thought I would share it with you just very briefly. When we're praying for God's kingdom to come, we're praying for Satan's kingdom to be destroyed. When we're praying for thy kingdom to come, we're praying for the defeat of Satan. We're praying for the overthrow of the powers of darkness. All of Adam's race, by their fallen nature, are under Satan's dominion. They were not born in the light. They were born into the darkness of sin. And if you're here unconverted, that's exactly where you are today. You need to be liberated from that kingdom and translated into the kingdom of God's own dear Son. Let's be under no misapprehension. The world round about us is a kingdom of darkness, and souls are held fast in it by Satan's grip and power, and they need to be liberated. When we pray, "Thy kingdom come," we are praying for the defeat of Satan's kingdom, his hold over the hearts of the multitudes. As we pray this petition, "Thy kingdom come," we're praying that the gospel will be preached throughout the world. The gospel is without national boundaries. I always be wary of people who are so nationalistic. They think that their prayer petitions should not go beyond the six counties of Northern Ireland. Oh, let's commence with our own Jerusalem. Let's commence with our home base. But don't stop there. The larger catechism says we're to pray for the Jews to be called by God's grace. We're to pray for the fullness of the Gentiles to be brought in. In this petition, for Christ's kingdom. We're praying for the church to be furnished with gospel ministers and office bearers. And the great need all over the world is for gospel ministers, missionaries to be raised up, for officers to be raised up in those local churches, for men of God to be raised up. Thy kingdom come. When the kingdom comes to hearts and lives and to cultures and to societies, what does God do? Well, He raises up ministers to preach the word of God. He raises up missionaries, evangelists to take the message of the gospel out. He raises up office bearers to stabilize the church. In our own mission board, we've been greatly challenged by the life story again of Hudson Taylor. He prayed hundreds of missionaries out into inland China. When he came back home on furlough the first time, he came back home exhausted. He realized that he couldn't do the work by himself. He needed other partners on that field. And God challenged him, well, just pray about it. And he prayed for 5 new missionaries to go into the field. And he felt so overwhelmed by it. 5, could the Lord really raise up 5? Well, the Lord raised up 5. The Lord raised up hundreds, which formed the basis of the China Inland Mission, which is the foundation, really, of that great evangelical movement in China that's comprised today, despite all the persecution that it's heaped upon the church in China, of millions of Christians. We're praying on our own board for 5 new missionaries to be raised up. Just 5. We're not limiting the Lord, but we're praying that God would raise up 5. And on along, I'll tell you a story very quickly. I went down and I started to work on the prayer map, the missionary prayer map, just a few weeks ago. Hadn't been looked at from pre-COVID times. And I took down 6 cards of those who had retired, of those who had resigned, of those who had returned, of those who had been called to higher service. How many did I put up? Just 1. Just in that one board, there was a net loss of 5 missionaries on the field. If we've got 5 new missionaries, they're only going to make up for the 5 workers that we've lost. We'll not limit the Lord. We're praying, Lord, raise up young and old. Young and old to go and tell redemption's story. We pray in this petition, Thy kingdom come for revival. We pray in this petition for the ordinances of Christ to be purely and faithfully dispensed. What are those ordinances? The preaching of the word, the administration of the sacraments, the fair administration of discipline. We're not to dispense with the ordinary means of grace. I don't know, people at home maybe think we do missionary work different abroad, but we don't. We just do the same abroad. We're there to preach. We're there to baptize. We're there to gather people around the Lord's table. We're there to see that church discipline is administered. And above everything else, we pray that all of these ordinances will be made effectual to the calling of those who know not the Lord Jesus Christ as their own and personal Savior. The kingdom of God is coming. It's coming. All the promises in the Bible are to the coming ones. And when the Lord Jesus taught us to pray, Thy kingdom come, He didn't mean it's not going to come. He said it is coming, and it is coming. It's coming to multitudes, the hearts of multitudes, right across the world. And it just thrills our heart, even over the weekend, to hear of young ones pressing into the kingdom of God through our humble labors, even within the mission board. The kingdom of God is coming. And as we labor in our service for the Lord, we have every right to be encouraged because the Lord Jesus Christ, He reigns. We thought of that in our opening word today. The preface of the Great Commission in Matthew 28:18 is predicated by the mediatorial power of the risen Son of God. All power, we sang about it. Let's just not sing about it, let's live it. All power is given unto me, Jesus said. And in the light of that, you go. Christ says, you go. What motivates us to pray on, brethren and sisters, what should motivate us to pray on is knowing that we serve an all-victorious Saviour. Taught us, thy kingdom come. He didn't ask us to pray that prayer in vain. As we pray that prayer, the kingdom is coming to the hearts of multitudes right across the world. And all that he has ordained who will be in that kingdom are being brought into that kingdom and will safely be gathered into that kingdom. And you and I have our little part to pray as we reprioritize the place of prayer. Let's pray in confidence, knowing that Christ has a people that he is going to call, and they're going to be brought in, and the kingdom of God is going to come to hearts and lives of multitudes. When you think about prioritizing your Christian life and ministry at this time, I want to challenge you, as this has challenged my heart over the past months, prioritize again the place of prayer. Hold on to those ropes, those missionary ropes. Carrie's great illustration. Hold on to them in the place of prayer. Thank you today for listening to me. May the Lord bless his word to your heart. Amen.
Thank you very much, Reverend Harris. Trust the Lord will bless that message to us. Everyone here has a responsibility, if you're a child of God, to do something in the work of the Great Commission. For some, it will be to go. And we pray that even as a result of this weekend, there will be those that will go. And we can all give what we can to support missionary work. And here's something else that we can all be involved in, and that's prayer. When you go to stand before the Lord and you're going to give an account with the Great Commission and your responsibility, what will you tell him on that great day? We're going to sing together the hymn 669. And we'll just sing one verse, and then our clerk of session, Phil Moffat, is going to come and close in prayer. And he might have something to say to you. It's always very dangerous handing things over, but he's something, I think, to say. Hark, 'tis the shepherd's voice I hear. Closes in prayer, you will be asked to leave row by row. Thank you.
I'm sure that Mr. Park thought it quite bold of me to ask if I could close in prayer, but we do have a wee announcement to make to our people here, a special announcement. It was on the 5th of December, some 25 years ago, the Reverend Park was installed as minister in the congregation here in Ballymoney. As a fellowship, we want to mark this occasion and give thanks to God for his goodness, for his faithfulness in giving us a devoted and a loving pastor. The Kirk Session and Committee intend, therefore, to hold special Thanksgiving services on the 28th of November, that's next Lord's Day, when the congregation will pay tribute to the longing-serving pastor that we have had in the 70 years history of the church here in Hebron. A special program has been arranged for both the noonday and the evening services with visiting speakers who will be in attendance. It's our intention to take up a love offering on this occasion so that each one of us can individually show our appreciation for his service and for his faithfulness in the Lord's work here in Ballymoney. We would therefore encourage you to make this service as widely known as possible and to encourage both friends and family members to join with us on what promises to be a very special occasion in the life of the fellowship and in the ministry of our devoted pastor. Please plan to join us as we praise God for his goodness and mark this momentous occasion in the life of the Reverend Park. Let us all bow together for prayer. Father in heaven, we do thank thee for the challenge that has come to our hearts and souls today in relation to the priority of prayer. And Lord, truly thou hast spoken to our hearts and souls. Thou hast challenged us with regards to personal prayer, with regards to our private prayer life before thee, with regards to where it stands in relation to the whole work of God which we are engaged in. Thou hast mentioned the prayer meeting. And Lord, we just wonder as to who may have been challenged today in relation to that vacant seat that at one stage was filled and now there is no individual there. We pray, Lord, that thou wilt continue to minister to our hearts and souls and grant that the tide of blessing might rise in these lives of ours as once more we rededicate ourselves to the place of prayer and give it foremost priority in our lives. We pray that thou wilt bless us now and take us to our homes in safety, for we ask these things in the Saviour's precious and in his worthy name. Amen.